adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tom C. and Nicholas is here tonight from American Wedding, which is coming out. Is it this Friday? No. Is it, what the hell? The first? A week from this Friday?
I can't count that far in advance. It's August 1st.
August 1st, everybody. What's the date today, Drew?
23rd.
All right. Then it's a week from this Friday, right?
Hold on a second. Yeah, good.
Yeah. All right. We're cool.
Using a little cheat sheet over there?
Yep. Week from Friday.
I said to someone today, what day is it? And the guy went, it's the 23rd. And I said, no, what day? What day?
Of the week.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. Yeah. Thomas was here about a year and a half, ago? 2 years ago?
So you're asking me to count again, about March 15th, 2001?
What the hell were you pushing back then? Was it American Pie?
American Pie 2.
Oh, all right. Well, good to have you back. Yeah, and this is the last one. Yeah.
Will I only be back if I do American Pie 4, or what's the deal?
No.
There
yeah,
will be no
sadly,
more.
Sadly, yes. No, there will be no 4, so you'll never be back. You shan't be back. No, when you do Stealing Sinatra, which is a movie that Thomas finished recently, he can come back and plug that one. That is the true story about when they kidnapped Frank Sinatra Jr.?
Yeah, 1963, kidnapped.
Took him... snatched him up from like Lake Tahoe, or took him on the road. You know, I don't know if a lot of people know this story. It's a true story.
Yeah, it. We tried to. You know, we stayed true. Court transcripts. He was, taken from Tahoe. He was doing a gig up there. Had his band, and they put him in the trunk of the car and drove back down to Los Angeles and had him held up in a house for. You know, about a week or so.
This is Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra Jr.
His son.
It's like in the 60s.
1963.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was a couple of bumbling guys who maybe were flunkies and knew each other from high school or something. Stop me when I screw this up. Just snatched him up, brought him back, and just brought him to some, like, Valley House or something.
Yeah, the two guys went to high school with him, and they got the one John Irwin, who William H. Macy played. Mm-hmm. Who was like the older father figure involved.
And they just were sort of sat in like a Valley House and just looked at him for a few days?
Yeah, they were planning on getting like Barry, now I'm totally spacing on the real guy's name, but he was planning on getting like $200,000.
Right.
And investing it and then paying back the ransom. That was his whole, that's how he got out with like not that, that with but a light sentence.
How do you prove that you're planning on investing? The guy's ransom and paying dividends on it back to the... But here's the whole thing. Now, there was always a little cloak of mystery around it, which was... It was sort of unclear whether Frank Sinatra Jr. was, like, really, like, kidnapped, like, Patty Hearst kidnapped or this kind of kidnapped.
Well, no, what happened was this girl came in as, like, a publicity stunt, and she, like, was saying that she knew that he rigged the whole thing, that he was part of it, and she was just trying to get press. But it was never proven in court, but that was the whole myth around it, that he was...
And there must have been some allegations about the mob in there somewhere.
Well, of course. Yeah. I'm sure there's something about that.
It doesn't seem like a great guy if all you heard was true about Frank Sinatra. It doesn't seem like a good kid to snatch up.
Yeah.
But then...
What happened to him?
They end up bumbling the whole thing, and what happened? You don't want to give away the movie, but...
Well, it's a true story, though.
True. Yeah, but people don't know about it.
No, I mean, they're... Essentially, he came home, like the John Irwin character let him go.
Right.
And he identified every... I mean, that's how it happens in the movie. Honestly, I didn't read the court transcripts myself, so...
He never really... And then, so the guys that were convicted of kidnap used to be like a capital offense.
Deal, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since Lindbergh or something, you could get the death sentence for kidnapping. Never seemed to really get that bad a sentence. They did sometime, right?
Well, they did, like, I don't know what it was, but it was ridiculously, like, just small, like 8 years or something.
And what happened to Frank Sinatra's son? What's he doing now?
He's touring with his dad's music. I went and saw a show after I finished the movie.
Wow.
My grandfather actually used to open for him as a stand-up comedian.
Wow.
Back in the day, and he recited, like, some of my grandfather's jokes.
Sounds like your
Slappy
family.
Nicholas, yeah.
And the family's a laugh a second.
Yeah. They're real entertaining. especially when they're being serious. It's just that, yeah, Frank Sinatra Jr., I think, was the arranger for Frank Sinatra for a long time.
Wow.
I mean, he did all the stuff. He was like the band leader and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was really into music, and his dad never wanted him to be in music.
Huh.
So everything he did on his own. It's really like, he's really a tragic character. So even though the film's a comedy, like, I was able to play this, like,
and yeah,
tragic person that's just constantly beaten down.
And you were Frank Sinatra Jr. Does he sound like Frank Sinatra? Did you have to put on anything for him?
No, I got to sing some big band tunes, which was fun.
Oh, you did? Did you?
Yeah.
You actually sung?
I actually sung. Like, the day before I left to go film, they popped me in the studio, and I sang them myself. So I lip-synced to myself on the set, which was kind of odd.
So, yeah, I guess you can sing then, right?
I can sing. I have a band, and it's different to do, like, syncopated vocals, big band, crooning sort of stuff.
But I do I do Hell Is for Children by Pat Benatar. You know that one?
Yeah, I've seen you do it.
It's true. I don't like to brag about myself, but it is a powerful, powerful song if you ever see me do that.
Well,
that's interesting. That movie comes out in 15 months. And then the movie you're here to plug tonight, American Wedding.
Well, can I plug my other flick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm working on my directorial debut, actually.
No, I hate you.
Oh.
Wait, you're 21?
23.
Oh, Christ. I was putting down carpet when I was 23. Yes, when is that coming out?
You'd moved on to ditch digging by that point.
Probably. Probably moved up to ditch digging. Yes, when is this? What is it called? When is it coming out?
It's called LADJ, and we're still finishing up post-production right now. So,
what's it about?
It's about two brothers. My brother Tim and I wrote it together. So it's two brothers. They live in a small town. They dream of becoming famous club DJs. So they go to L.A. to try to break into the club scene, and they get stuck DJing bar mitzvahs.
I'm guessing it's a comedy.
Yes, indeed. Good.
And you might get to do a little bit of singing in it, or bad rapping or something? A little scratching,
and I put one of my tunes in the movie for one of the montage sequences, because it's a DJ film. My stuff's like kind of rock, so there's not really like singing or rapping
right,
or anything.
So you can look for LADJ to come out soon. But also, you got to go out and see American Wedding, which is coming out on the 1st of August. Let's go to the phones and speak to Christina, who's 17. Christina, hi. What's up?
I'm calling because I want you guys to tell me if this thing that I've been doing since I was a really little kid is masturbation, and why I would be doing that when I was a little kid. I would lay on my stomach and put my my hands underneath like my body, and I would like rock on top of them.
Yeah, we hear about this sometimes.
Yeah.
Kids do that.
Did you do it until orgasm, or did you do it until...
No, I've never had an orgasm before.
All right, so there you go.
Do you still do that now?
Yeah. Like, I still have never really put my fingers inside.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't need to.
It just doesn't feel very good.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a way of self-soothing as much as anything. But
sometimes, but let me tell you, if I try something and I get no orgasm, I move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't go back to that well.
Yeah, that's why you just stay with the masturbation.
Stay with what? When I found out what works, I stayed with it.
That's right.
So that is masturbation, even though I never go inside?
Oh, yes. Most women do.
It
not,
is?
Most women do not go
no
inside.
No orgasm.
Yeah. It's just you haven't quite figured out how to have an orgasm yet.
Hold on. You've never put your fingers in yourself?
Well, actually, yeah, I guess I have, but I don't do it often because I don't
Most women do not put their fingers inside for masturbation.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That'd be nonstop for me.
No, you wouldn't, because you like the penis.
I'd be opening bottles. I'd be using it for everything.
Jars.
Much more than just a baby hatch or place to urinate out of. I'd be using it for stuff. Christina?
Yeah, so there's like nothing weird or strange going on that I was doing that when I was like five?
Well, if you needed... Sometimes when kids need sexual stimulation as a form of soothing, it's because there's a lot of chaos in their life.
There's nothing that I can remember.
Okay,
right.
Then
you're
that's
fine.
Then it's fine. It's
you're fine.
Fine.
Okay.
You're a virgin now?
No.
So something's been in there.
Well, yeah, but I didn't... Well, that's another thing. I didn't like it, really.
Really?
I was 16. Maybe I was too young. I don't know.
Yep.
All right.
I'd say yes.
So you wait a little while. And you'll be... Wait till you're in love.
Okay.
Wait till you think you're in love.
Okay. All right. I think so. But it doesn't matter. Anyway, I love your show. Thank you.
Thanks. You got a guy? You dating?
Oh, no, not anymore.
You looking for somebody?
I guess.
Thomas,
how old
are you? Thomas is 23, but his agent says he can go as low as 15.
Are you going away to college?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
BC.
What? That's not away.
No, I guess I'm not going away.
All right, but she's going to Boston College, right?
Yeah.
All right, good times.
Okay.
Now, your roommate's going to bust you doing that rocking thing a couple times.
I know. Yeah, I've learned that I shouldn't do it in front of people, but it was pretty awful when I was about, I don't know, like 9, and I figured out that it was kind of weird to do in front
Well,
of people.
What happened?
I don't know. Like, my whole life, I didn't understand, so...
No, but when you figured it out, what happened?
I don't know. I guess it was like a slow thing. It didn't happen.
All right. True. Whenever Drew thinks he's going to coax a fascinating story out of one of the callers, does it ever go anywhere,
never,
Drew?
Never.
I'm going to keep...
Won't prevent me from trying, though.
I'll keep a squirt gun filled with, like, vinegar or something in case my kid ever starts doing that stuff.
Or piano.
You know what I mean?
If I'm trying
to work him like a cat.
Right, right.
And I want him to stay off the furniture. I don't want him doing that ass
thing. You're
going
to tap
him
on the nose? No.
I will if they're within range, but I don't want to have to get up. So hence the squirt gun. You know what I mean? I need something I can get at him. You know, I can get some range with him.
They make some good squirt guns nowadays.
Yeah. I don't want to ruin the house, though, so I'm looking for something that's accurate but yet doesn't puddle too much. All right. Drew, what should you do if your kid is going at itself that way?
Vinegar and a squirt bottle.
Okay. That's what I thought. Chris?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
My wife, she's bored with the traditional sex that we're having. We're having it like 5 to 6 times a week.
Oh, no. She might not be bored. Well, what do you mean?
I don't know. She's just not really getting aroused that much. She says she wants to try new stuff, but every time that we do, it doesn't really work.
Maybe it's just too much for her.
I don't know. She usually comes on to me, though. So, like, do you guys have any ideas as to what else to do?
Well, you need more information.
Hold on a second. This smells bogus to me.
Yeah, but I think it's just him. I think
Wait, did you just click that off? That
was I just put him on hold so we can talk without him getting in our way. Chris?
Yes.
What is her suggestion? Give us a specific suggestion she's given you to spice things up in the bedroom.
I don't know. She's tried anal a couple times, but she doesn't really like it. It hurts her. And then
she's tried anal?
Yeah.
Right.
What, with one of your friends?
With one of my friends?
You know what I mean? The way he says it, it's like, well, she did this and she did that.
No. We do. Me and her.
You would say we have tried anal, like when I talk about Drew.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't
we
say
don't just
he's
try
tried anal. I say we've tried anal.
We say we perform.
That's right. We executed anal.
Okay.
All right, so...
Me and my wife have executed anal. I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay, and she doesn't really like it. She says that hurts.
All right, so what else is she doing?
All right,
you know, when something hurts, don't do that again.
Right.
Remember 10 minutes ago I said give me a specific thing that she requested?
Yeah.
Now we're going to get process of elimination.
Yeah,
well, we tried
this.
Here's what she doesn't like. Tell us what she suggested most recently.
She suggested that we don't even have sex, that I just try to finger her. And she doesn't even like that. She just doesn't really like it when I even go inside her.
Yeah. She ever been abused?
I don't think so.
She's your wife?
Yes.
You never discussed things like that with her?
No.
I'd say the less you know, the better, as far as any relationship. I mean, let's face it. Whether it's a guy you pick up hitchhiking or someone you marry, it's like you don't need to know everything.
Yeah.
Let's face it. A little less history, more mystery is what I say. We can't get a read on Chris at all because Chris can't get a read on Chris or his wife at all. There's something seriously going on, and it's either bogus or you're just way out of whack in your relationship.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I've heard, last night there were a couple of callers that they said, weird stuff. Like, I don't know. One of them did, the whole s'mores thing. What is that?
Oh, so now we're getting bogus.
All right. Yeah, this is bogus. Come on, Chris. Please.
No, I'm serious.
No, you're not serious. And listen, you were bogus from the word go because you're so teeny. You're paper thin. You know what I mean? You hear people's voice. There's nothing behind it. There's no energy. It's kind of... It just, it, you know what it's like? It's like, it's like the difference between looking at a piece of solid wood, like a maple cutting block, and a thin veneer.
Yeah, yeah.
Thin veneer, some bad piece of furniture at your 70s dentist office, you know? It's still got the wood grain, but somehow you can tell it's only a 16th deep.
Yeah.
That was Chris. There was nothing there.
Yeah.
Balsa wood right behind it.
Yeah.
That's right. Particle board. Cheap particle board. Nicole?
Yeah.
I'm looking for some clear dug fir.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking for 2x or 4x stock, too.
Okay.
All right. Which they call 8/4. Go ahead.
Is there any way that a person can actually be allergic to condoms?
Oh, sure. The latex is rather common.
Does it feel like a yeast infection?
Yeah, it can. It can, or it can be a yeast infection. Sometimes just sort of having something in there will disrupt the immunity, you know, the sort of the plant life down there.
Flora and the fauna.
Yeah, and set up a yeast infection. But you might want to try polyurethane condoms.
Okay.
Trojan makes those as well.
Hey, Nicole.
Yeah.
This is, it's not my idea of clear 4x6 Doug Fir here, you know what I'm saying? I need a little more depth.
No, we're sort of looking at like Pergo now.
Yeah.
It's kind of in between.
Yeah, we're looking at a durable, pre-finished flooring from Europe. I'm looking for some sort of, I'm looking for like Bostonian, turn of the century handcraft. I'm looking for quarter sawn oak. What do you got for me?
Okay, we've done it for like 5 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
And the last day after we had finished, I went to the bathroom and I wiped myself, you know, and it was burning.
Well, mm-hmm. Maybe just too much activity, just friction.
Yeah, 5 days straight.
Yeah.
Nonstop?
Nicole, this is IKEA. This is the furniture you put together. Thomas.
This is Scandinavian furniture.
This is bad Scandinavian furniture.
Are you, did it hurt when you peed?
Not a lot. It burned a little bit.
All right, so again, you probably need to be checked out. Do you have pelvic exams regularly?
Yeah.
When was your last exam?
About 2 months ago.
Yeah, maybe time to get back, check things out. Just to see, make sure it's not some other kind of infection, make sure there's no urine infection. See if there's maybe a latex allergy from the condom, and maybe try polyurethane in the meantime and sort of slow down the activity, lots of lube, so you don't frictionize yourself.
Lots of lube would be a good name for a band.
Lots of lube. L-O-T-S-A.
My cousin's friend always had an idea for a band name. Call it Free Beer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that
Free
before.
Free Beer Tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, gets people in the door. Then they're horribly angry by the time you go on stage. But it does get them into the venue. All right, let's talk to Rachel, who's 23. Rachel?
Yes.
I wouldn't mind taking a home improvement question tonight, too.
Oh, boy.
If anyone has any of those.
Brian, you got that?
Wait, a home improvement question?
Yeah.
Brian.
I like to mix it up a little once in a while.
I got gotcha.
Right, tell Brian, will you?
What's wrong?
I can get in on that. I need a little home improvement.
I noticed you peeled that Pergo off like it was nothing.
I got Pergo in the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah.
You do a remod at your place?
A pretty big remod.
You doing some of the work yourself?
I did a lot of the demolition myself.
Yeah, it feels good, right?
Yeah. Little sledgehammer to the kitchen cupboards.
Get a sawzall and a single jerk and go to town. Rachel?
Yes.
What's up?
More on that later.
I have an ex-boyfriend who told me that he's relatively on the smaller side, but he told me that I was the loosest girl he'd ever been with.
Yeah, that's nice.
Right,
yeah.
Don Juan here. Right after that, you broke up. That's nice.
I get really wet when I have sex, so I attribute it to that. But
yes,
now
and to his size.
Yes, it's his.
Well,
but the.
But that's what you. That's your only comeback when someone complains about your size or makes a crack about the size of your penis. You say, you know, it's not the size of the ball, it's the hoop. Is too big.
But he told me I was the loosest girl he'd ever been with.
Same
size the whole time.
It's much more likely.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? That's what you would say if somebody said you were small.
Well, especially after you're already broken up.
It's much more likely to be the lubrication than the size.
But my current boyfriend has a really hard time coming and a really hard time getting off and will go for a long time.
That is not your fault.
You seem to like.
Well, it is her fault. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, it's nothing to do with her size. No way.
All right, it's the lubrication.
Yes.
I even asked my doctor.
What did he say?
She was a girl.
What'd she say?
She said that.
Hold on, they're letting broads. What was it? Some kind of substitute doctor? They're letting broads do this now? This doctor thing?
No, I.
What the hell is going on with this country?
Program with the Soviet Union, don't worry.
She told me that I felt totally great.
Normal. Of course, you're normal.
Oh, she was all right. Listen.
Wait, she told you that you felt totally great?
She said I feel fine. I have great tone.
All right, you're fine.
There you go.
You believe the doctor, not your angry, bitter, small-penised ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, but now my current boyfriend can't get off.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with your anatomy.
No, it has to do with the lubrication.
Probably not even that. It's probably just him. He just probably takes forever to get off. Maybe oral sex is better for him or something.
How about oral sex? How's that?
I do know that I think he masturbates a lot.
All right, so get him to stop doing that so Well, okay.
I like a man with principles, though.
Okay.
He puts his foot down.
How dare you?
That is my first love. That and legitimate theater. Be gone! Away with you and your mocking mouth. Rachel?
Hold on.
I like a guy who takes a stand for beating off. Like, I've gotten into these discussions myself, but I'm always like, I put my head down. Yeah, see what I can do. You know, make some sort of something to sort of pacify him a little.
Listen,
yeah.
No, I'll not hear of it.
Yeah, I say stuff like, I'll look into it. I'll look into that.
How do you get?
No,
into
no, you
know,
you, yeah, yeah, you're
first.
Right,
first,
you're
I
right,
argue
right, yeah, yeah.
Five times a day. That's normal. That's normal. Talk to Ray and Chris. Those guys do it. Okay.
What does that matter anyway? How do you get into a discussion like that?
Yeah,
his wife has a little problem with what his habits are.
Oh, please!
Well,
how
there
dare you,
go.
Rachel?
Yes.
All right. So he refuses.
Almost came up at dinner a couple times. By the way,
dare you,
it
Drew.
Came close. I could feel it coming.
Oh, you were just drunk and horny. Rachel?
Yes.
No, she kind of went, because you and your and
oh,
then we
please.
Went on to something else quickly.
Listen, she knew. She knows who she married.
That's for sure. And you've proven it over and again.
Rachel?
Yes.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey.
Now, does he, when you ask him to slow down on the masturbation, what does he say?
He says, okay, but then we'll have sex, and he won't be able to come. I'll be like, what's wrong? He'll be like, oh, I masturbated this morning. And I'm like, and it makes me feel like
there's something up with him. But what about oral sex? What does that do for him?
Yeah, but still, it takes forever.
What does that do for him? It takes forever.
With oral sex, too.
Yeah, right. Same thing.
All right, then he's got a problem.
Tell him to stop thinking about baseball.
I've even tried, like, other stuff.
like
anal.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I can't really take this for much longer.
Okay, then there's no other orifice left to explore. You've done all you could.
Yeah, this is his problem, not your problem. And if he won't adjust, then sometimes relationships don't survive.
Can you have a problem like that? Can you create a problem like that?
Oh, yeah.
Because usually the problem is, like, not lasting long enough.
Right, yeah. Right. No, you can have a problem where you can't ejaculate because you've sort of cleaned the tubes, you know.
Right,
empty the tank so much, there's nothing there.
Yeah, but 20-something-year-old guys who beat off a lot can beat off in the morning and be plenty good to go that evening with their gal pals.
Yes.
if they're not like this guy.
Right.
This guy has a weird issue.
He's not even interested in timing himself or anything. He just, whatever, forget it.
No, but I don't think it's timing.
Using it as an excuse, you think.
Well, Drew, when you were 23, 24, and you were good to go, you'd take care of yourself in the morning and have plenty left in the tank for that evening.
Yes, but if he's really overdoing it, like three times a day or something.
I don't think that's it. I think he's ashamed and he says, I did it today.
Maybe.
He's not doing it through anal. He's not doing it through oral.
We'll never know.
He's having difficulties.
Yeah. But I don't understand. You have this opportunity. You're dating someone. You're sexually active. You know, whatever. You're being safe, all that stuff. Why would you, like, I understand you want to masturbate.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you want to time it right?
No, he would. He's got this problem.
He's saying it's not. He's just blaming the masturbation, but he really just can't be intimate and gets anxious.
That's what's going on because if she told him not to do it, you will admit to the sort of lesser charge.
It's the Kobe Bryant syndrome.
That's what I was about to say.
Kobe Bryant syndrome.
Any guy who's up there sitting next to his new wife explaining how he banged some other chick 10 minutes ago. There's parts of that story that are still yet to be told. That's me.
And we'll return to tell them.
Thomas Ian Nicholas is here tonight from American Wedding, the last in the American Pie trilogy. You remember him from as Kevin from the first two, and now in the third. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Thomas Ian Nicholas is here tonight from American Wedding, which is coming out on August 1st. And those of you who saw the... what did the first American Pie gross? Do you know?
I can give you hard numbers on that. Box office was on American Pie 1 in 1999. July 9th, I believe it opened. It grossed like 100 mil.
Jesus.
Oh, whoa.
While it was in the box, while
just
it was
box
at
office,
theaters.
And it did 100 mil on DVD. Ugh. It did 100 mil foreign, which is total, which is big numbers for for a world release on a $10 million budget film.
Holy F.
So of course, you know, make some money, make a sequel.
Sure. And you know, I was thinking about when you said 100 mil at DVD, I thought, you know what the key to 100 mil a DVD is, besides doing a good movie? Have a titillating boob shot. Have a scene. Shannon Elizabeth, have a little nudie scene. Because every 15-year-old in the United States will grab it because now they have control over the nudity. Whereas when you're in the theater, you're sitting there watching. And hey, what's this? Hey, ho, it's over. It's over. What happened? Oh, you couldn't, like, you weren't ready for it. Like, it came and went. You got like half a boner, but then there's confusion. Now you have the control.
Well, DVD.
Like rewind and it stop and
it's clear. It's not like VHS.
Kids today. Kids too.
There's no like tracking lines or the, you know, the just the buzz of the screen.
Let me tell you.
It's a clear picture.
Let me tell you something, Junior. I held reel-to-reel movies up in front of the light. Okay? 8mm. No, 8 or 16. No, 8
Super
millimeter.
8, yeah.
Super 8. Let me tell you how many millimeters are in an inch. Guess how many millimeters in an inch.
64.
Please. 25 point something in an inch. But that means an 8 millimeter is less than a third of an inch. Okay? And then that's, you got the tractor, you know, got the tractor marks on the side and stuff. I mean, you're holding up. You're basically beating off to a kernel of a grain of rice. It's basically what I was beating off to. Just holding it up in front of the light. No projector, just had the movie.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know what?
Technology is grand.
It really is, because I was miserable. I was going to say those were simpler times.
The other key is make two DVDs, rated and unrated.
Oh,
so
really?
Then you can sell double.
Oh, yeah.
And there was that, too. And then the Ultimate Edition, of course. So three, really, on the first movie.
Wow.
And then the three-pack, of course. You know, you could do the Christmas gift.
Oh, man.
It just keeps going and going.
Well, the juggernaut continues August 1st. Lucy?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I tried anal sex with my boyfriend about a week ago. And the second time that we tried it, I told him to stop because it hurt. And then I didn't think much of it. We finished. And then the next day, I went to the bathroom, and I noticed I was bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
All right.
And you don't see an association there?
Oh, Drew, don't talk. I'm going to see how long it'll go.
I didn't.
Yeah?
Well, it didn't hurt. That's the thing. It didn't hurt, like, afterwards. You know, when I got home and when I was at home, it didn't hurt at all.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, all right. It could have nothing to do with your having a penis jammed up there?
I don't know. I'm.
Well, let's do some math. Have you bled rectally before the anal penetration?
No.
All right. So this could just be happy coincidence.
Well, Mr. Hume, just because the cue ball moves across the table, smacks into the other cue ball, and knocks it into the cup doesn't
right.
mean there's any causative association there.
Well,
maybe
would,
just incidental.
I would argue there was,
okay.
Yes. All right, so we've narrowed it down to the penis.
Yeah.
Right. So so maybe you don't want to engage in this again.
Yeah, I was actually, that's why I'm calling. I'm wondering, you know, should I mean, is this isn't normal, right?
Right. You're 19.
Yeah. So it's not like you have a behymen up there that broke the first time and it's going to be smooth sailing from this point on. It may be more bleeding in your
future.
In fact,
you need to get this checked out.
Do you?
Okay.
Could be a tear. Could be a fissure.
All right, but here, let me say this, Drew.
Hemorrhoid.
People went to hold off from going to the ass doctor the last possible moment. Can you say that if she has some nice, healthy, brown BMs with no trace of blood for the next week, that she doesn't have to go to the ass doctor?
Yes. If it recurs, though, at any point in the future, go back.
All right, Lucy?
Okay.
All right.
In the meantime, don't be putting stuff there.
Yeah. Keep the weight off that ass for a couple of weeks. Keep it elevated.
Cocaine balloons and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
It. Yeah. If you got to get a shiv into the joint for your boyfriend, or you're trying to mule some heroin.
Or a car toy.
Or a car toy. Absolutely. All right, Lucy.
Thank you.
Good times. All right. Let's talk to...
19.
So there's a home improvement question, but it's...
I'm thinking about... What's the girl's
name?
That's
a plumbing question. Mm. I don't like plumbing.
Oh.
Greg?
Yeah?
You're 22?
Hang a second. The last call was 19. How old is the girl that... Jessica... The girl that...
Lynch?
Went Lynch. 19.
Yeah? Is she 19?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Same age.
The one in return from Iraq.
Yeah, my buddy is in the Army, and he... busted her cell phone right before she left. Dropped it into a margarita, I guess, at a bar.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he
before
was like
left
in
for Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't get sent away, but he was stationed at Fort Bliss.
What, he was coming on to her or something?
Probably. I mean, that's my buddy. I mean, he's
If she'd had that cell phone, Drew, she could have called in
for help.
Firestrike.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
airstrike.
It was. All right. It's starting to turn out like. I love this country more than anybody, but. It's starting to turn out like this wasn't quite the patriotic, heroic thing that we initially grabbed onto.
I just thought it was somebody got wounded in action and rescued.
But the whole thing was she was like shot, she was stabbed, and then there was a heroic rescue.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out her injuries are caused by the accident. Not she wasn't shot and stabbed.
Was shot at. Yeah.
No. The car got the convoy got into an accident. I mean, maybe because they were shooting, she wasn't shot.
Right.
And she wasn't stabbed. She got in a car accident.
Right.
And then when she got rescued, some guy like wandered down the street and said, hey, there's some chick up in that room, and they walked up and got her.
Yeah.
It's still good news.
Yeah.
It's not the stuff, no raid on Entebbe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure my listeners know raid on Entebbe. Greg?
Yeah.
You remember Entebbe?
No.
We had to raid it.
Green Berets? No.
All right.
Not so much.
Go ahead, Greg.
All right. My plumbing question was, I was wondering if there's a way to adjust, the pressure on a toilet.
You got one of those low-flow jobs?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to flush all the way. So sometimes you finish up, and you'll turn around, and it's still got stuff floating in it.
Yeah.
You got a double flusher there.
Yeah. You got one of those water savers, 1.6 gallon.
No, I mean, you just got to flush it midway. You got to double flush it during the...
What, to get the tank empty or something?
No, just to, when you're halfway done, if you've, you're going to fill the...
You got to do two flushes.
Two flushes.
No, but, sometimes, you'll flush it, and you'll try to flush it again, but it won't flush again.
But you got to wait for the tank to fill
you
up.
Fill up.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, otherwise it's just a dead... It's like a video game that goes bad,
You know that back of the toilet fills up with water.
It fills up back up with water, but then it doesn't flush it down again. It just kind of floats back up.
You checked the chain?
Yeah.
It sounds like you need a new ball cock valve, son.
Or couldn't it be the way to flow through down, there's some clogging?
I don't know. Listen, pull the lid off the tank and take a look back there, all right? Do a little experimenting. But don't make the mistake I did, which is actually cramping into the tank. I did that for many years before. No one told me.
That's supposed to be clean water in case of an earthquake. You're not supposed to crap in there.
That's right.
That's safety water.
Maybe you're... I'll tell you, that I bought a house a few months ago, a beautiful, big, green, old high boy, just one of those high-tank, Art Deco, green 20s toilets that went with all the green tile in the bathroom and everything. The water Gestapo came in when the house was sold without me knowing it, and very sloppily and ugly, if that's a word, ugly, swapped out the toilet with some crappy water-saving lowboy.
What?
Yeah. It left a big pipe hanging out of the wall and stuff.
Where's the tank? Gone?
No, they didn't take it. They just moved it aside. So now I can pay for whatever. This goddamn city's so effed up.
They converted it to low flow.
Low flow, so you're going to have to flush four times every time you go.
Right, so you're saving water.
Yeah, for right? four flushes per
They converted it to low flow, but here's the deal. The toilet was an old-style toilet, and the toilet, the water, now normally there's a valve somewhere around the floor, comes out of the wall, it's a little less, it's called an angle stop, comes out of the floor, it's got a little braided hose, goes up to the tank from the floor. Well, this was an old-style one, had a real tall back toilet. It's the kind of thing, by the way, that if you went to one of these trendy places on Melrose, you'd pay $800 for this toilet. It's a 1920s Art Deco kind of toilet. The water came into this toilet at the top of the tank, which was, and because it was a tall tank, was up about 3.5-4 feet off the floor. Now, when they swapped it out, they had a little problem because the water was up at the top, and the new low-boy, cheapo piece of ass toilet they gave me had the water inlet at the bottom. So what'd they do? They just soldered on a long piece of copper pipe that's sticking out of the wall, going down 4 feet, and tying into their new piece of ass toilet. I was never consulted. They just took the toilet off. I wasn't there. I'm the new homeowner. They came into the house. They swapped it out. I think they'd take that goddamn thing and just launch it right through City Hall. Pussies.
Who did that?
The
previous owners?
No. There's some sort of thing on the books that, you know, when the house changes hands,
what?
The city gets a crack at your ass via their low flush toilet.
Well, via whatever their code is at the point that the house is sold, right?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
So that the guys come in and check in. They go, this has got to be brought up to code.
Yeah,
and they just
what about
in.
The part where they just do a butcher job on the thing? Yeah, like I'm going to sit there and have a bunch of copper pipes and elbows and stuff just sticking out of the wall at the towel bar height and then fishing its way down to the floor, you effing retards. And who do you talk to and who do you sue? And let me say this too, Drew, because I'm fired up now.
I was thinking that you're in a day of burony. It's not a tyranny anymore. It's bureaucrat tyranny. It's burony.
Yeah, it's a few left-wing pussy do-gooders over there trying to save everybody, pussies. Turning this into a country full of pussies. Where's your seat belt? Where's your child safety seat? Oh, you don't have an airbag on your big wheel. We got to sue you. You ACLUers and all you wussies. I can't stand you coming into my house. We're driving. We drive this goddamn 10 freeway home every night.
Uh-huh.
Every single night we drive this
godforsaken
10 freeway. Yes. And let me tell you something about the 10. The 10 has one of these, and you guys have seen these things in maybe the city or town you're in. L.A. has them all over the place, and they've been there since that Steve Martin movie, the L.A. Stories movie.
They put up the Olympics.
Okay. They started putting up these, I'm sure, very expensive
billboards
or signs that hang over the freeway and tell you, oh, we're going to tell them traffic conditions, we're going to give them weather reports, we're going to give them all sorts of information. These things, and like I said, yeah, they put them all up in the Olympics probably in 84, but they keep adding to them. And I'm sure they're several million dollars a piece because they're these sophisticated pieces of electronics that go up and hang over. They're basically in the same position the old freeway signs would be in, but these are these high-tech, stadium boards that are going to give you all the latest information on what's ahead of you. We've driven this 10 freeway every night for 9 years. I have seen the sign that we pass under somewhere around La Brea lit up. Stop me if I'm exaggerating.
Twice?
Let's say 3 times in the 9 years that we've been driving. And those 3 times have said, like, have a nice day. So never been one
time,
goddamn piece of information.
One time was information about the for those of you out of state, the about 300 miles from here, the 5 Grapevine, closed down by snow or something.
Some stretch of highway you didn't know
miles
about
away.
Or care about.
You didn't even have, like, the child abduction? Like,
and one of those.
One of those. That
we
was
saw,
one, of those.
One of those.
Yeah.
We saw one of those. I immediately snapped into action.
The Amber Alert.
Amber Alert, one of those.
By doing nothing. But my head was on a swivel. I was looking for that chick. So the point is, last night, the freeway completely closed down.
We came to a stop.
Came to a stop, just came to a dead stop at the 110, which is about 4 or 5 miles down
through
this board.
Downtown,
right, right.
They cut off the on-ramp to the 110. They detoured everybody. They stopped everything. Had the road signs out and the flares. And it wasn't an accident or anything. They were doing road work. It was planned. They had the cones and the...
Right, they had to get permits to come in. They had to plan that.
They did
ahead.
The whole thing
set
out.
Up for hours. And the freeway, you know, came from 70 miles an hour to full stop.
Full stop, and you were just parked there. Now, here's the point. Hey, fellas, with the $8 million freeway sign, you retards want to go ahead and put a little something up on the goddamn sign that says the goddamn freeway comes to a goddamn stop in 4 miles? Maybe you want to get off on La Brea, which I gladly would have done and gone home? Nope, just drive right into Satan's funnel. Right into his funnel and stop. And I was talking to Drew on the phone. I was going insane with this freeway sign, but here's the point. When do you guys put something on that board? Right. Does it work? Who's controlling it? Is he off that night? Does he not communicate with the other guys who are doing his stuff?
He was stuck in the traffic.
How many millions of dollars did you guys spend on these completely worthless electronic freeway signs that have touched no one's life and done zero? Look, you guys would, if you'd spend all those millions of dollars and just bought everyone an air freshener for their car shaped like a pine tree, it would have been a much more effective campaign. We've got a lot more out of it.
And they had a chance last night to do something.
Yeah, hey, heads up. Hey, get off here.
110 close. Just that.
That's
just
all.
There. 110
close.
Nope,
not going to do it.
No, just 110 close.
Oh, 110 close. All right. Oh, that would have been good.
Really. Yeah. If anybody knows any answers to these things, I would love to hear it. I was just sitting there in traffic, seething.
Yeah, he was going insane.
I'm gonna. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get in a Cessna and I'm gonna load it up with plastique and I'm gonna fly it into that thing. I'm going out in a blaze of glory. Jesus Christ! And I'm just saying.
You know what they'll do after you do that?
They'll put a monument up to me.
No, they'll rebuild it.
Yeah, they'll rebuild it.
Another $8 million.
I swear, I don't know how much it costs. I've never seen one used, and it's never done anything except for, yes, in the last 6 months, somebody decided the Amber Alert should go on there. But they put the things up 20 years ago.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
They knew one day they'd come up with the Amber Alert 20 years into the future? All right, I'm pissed. All right, Thomas Ian Nicholas is here tonight. God damn him. He's here from American Wedding. And we'll
August
be,
1st.
We'll be right back. All right. It's Loveline, everybody. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline.
Thomas Ian Nicholas.
Thomas said he was a caller of the show.
He called
the
show?
I never got on.
Oh, but you tried to call this show.
Yeah.
When?
Like many, many years ago. I want to say like when I, well, I guess it wasn't junior high. I guess it was like freshman.
Many, many years ago. 6 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. Many, many. No, like right around the beginning of the show, because I'm 23, so freshman in college. Freshman in high school, like 14, 15
wow.
years old.
Now, did you grow up in Vegas?
No, not. I was born there.
You're born in Vegas.
Born in Vegas. Born in Vegas at the hospital.
Right.
Lived outside of Vegas for 2 years in Pahrump.
Oh, really?
Pahrump.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then moved to Santa Cruz and then down to Los Angeles.
Pahrump and Santa Cruz are like the same place. I mean,
same vegetation, same climate.
Same climate, same situation.
Same culture.
Yeah, they both have
same tax
beaches.
Pahrump's
yeah.
like 127 in the shade during
if
the summer.
Shade. We had a tree outside the trailer.
Oh, anyway. Really? Was it? It's like plaster, or was it an actual tree?
No, it was a real tree.
Wow.
It was a real, real tree. As far as I've been told.
The neighborhood.
We couldn't even find the house, the trailer home last time. Anyway, whatever.
Really? You were in a trailer home in Pahrump?
Definitely.
Don't they have those ranches, a chicken ranch and all that
That's
stuff?
That's what I hear. I haven't been there, I mean, since I was two, so
I
know.
See. And then Santa Cruz.
And then Santa Cruz.
That's smart. Yeah. Raising your kid in Pahrump is like you just taking a bunch of sand, putting it in a microwave, and then putting your kid in there. There
well, it
go.
Was supposed to be like the next booming town, and it never boomed.
Yeah, no.
No.
What'd your dad do?
I don't know what he was doing then. I don't know what he's doing now. No, I do know. Craps, Vegas.
He
lives
playing?
In Vegas now. Yeah, he deals.
He deals
craps, yeah.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Deal craps?
Is he a stick man?
I think he moved up to, like, Pit Boss or something. No. I don't know. I hear stories. I don't really know.
So your dad was working? Oh, so he
what
left
hotel?
The family
Where?
Early.
Wait, what? Are you asking two questions?
Yeah, Drew wants to know what hotel. Relax over there, Drew. He left the family early.
No, well, I mean, see, that's a whole another story. I mean, dad had kids before.
Uh-huh.
Left. He's left and been left. But in this particular situation, my mom left him. And legally, they were you know, still married or whatever, because she couldn't serve him divorce papers in Nevada. And but my mom was a good mom. You know, so she got out when the getting was
she
good.
She took you to Santa Cruz.
Yes, indeed.
That's an angel.
Yes,
that woman's a saint.
My mom was, you know, a single parent. You know, I mean, and I couldn't even imagine having more than one kid. I mean, I was a, I'm sure, a handful just being a single
but
parent.
Only, but only child.
Only child.
All right, and in Santa Cruz. But probably 70 or 80, 80 half-brothers and sisters running around somewhere.
That's exactly.
Fantastic. All right, well, yeah. Good. I'm glad everything worked out.
We got to go to break.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
Well, it's because of Drew's rant last really ate up the last break.
Hey, sure, Dave.
That was it. Just a quick story about me.
Dave 17.
Adam and Drew?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, my mom is a piece of work. Mm-hmm. She hates, like, everybody. Mm-hmm. And recently she's really been taking that out on me.
All right.
Because, you know, well, I'm gay.
All right. Hold on a second. We got to take a break.
Hold on, Dave. We'll be right with you.
It sounds like the killer from the Silence of the Lambs. It needs to take off its skin. He's a creepy sounding guy. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
That's how what moms that are paying the ass do to their kids.
We'll find out about Gay Dave and his hateful mom after this. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Thomas Ian Nicholas is here tonight. American Wedding is the name of the new movie out August 1st. All right. Now, when we left off, we're going to speak to Dave, or we were speaking to Dave. Dave is Digital Dave. He's 17. He's gay.
Sounds 38.
Yeah,
and he's got a mom that's a problem.
Sucking on an ether rag. Dave?
Yes.
Yes.
So what's going on?
Basically, my mom, she hates everybody.
All right.
And when I say everybody, I mean, like, she could join the KKK.
But you know what? That makes it kind of easy for you. Then you can't go to her expecting anything other than negativity and hatred, and so you should just stay away.
And it's just, I try to do that, but she always just makes these comments, you know.
You know, there's something that kids do with their parents is they keep going back to the person that they love, trying to get a different response. And yet when you keep going back to the same person, you're going to get the same response. You got to just accept the fact that's how she is and just get on with your life.
What, you're still living at home?
No, basically she kicked me out and now I'm living with my sister who's like 20.
All right.
Sounds like an improved situation, no?
Well, my sister has kind of taken on some of my mom's neuroses, I guess you would call them.
Yeah. Well, the ladies clearly aren't for you, Dave. You're out of school now?
I graduated when I was 16. I took the CHSPE.
Perfect.
I did, too. That's a great test.
Are you working now?
No, I'm not.
I took it in my early 30s, actually.
College. I'm turning 18 in, like, a week.
College?
Junior college, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of that nonsense. It's time to get a job. So, here's what you need to do, Dave. I'm going to give you the Corolla 3-year plan. A, stop putting snow chains on that tire and focus on me.
Oh, sorry. Wallet chain, I was playing with it. It's a nervous habit. I'm, like, really nervous right now.
All right. Wallet chain, not much different than a snow chain. I'm going to get some credit for that.
It's good. Well done.
All right. First, calm down. Secondly, be nice to your sister.
Kiss, I try to.
Yeah, kiss her ass. I know you're angry. I know you hate the ladies, and I know your mom's a pain in the ass.
But I get along with my sister fine.
Good, good. Be good to her because you're living under her roof.
Do you have a relationship right now?
No, I really have, like, I'm shy, and I'm not good at talking to people.
Fine. You don't need one. That's baggage. That's ass baggage. It's going to slow you down.
Ass baggage.
That's what they call
it. No, it's a luxury to be in a relationship. You got to get a job first and get settled in and all that.
Right. You need to get a gig. You need to do something. Waiter, busboy, get a job, drop out of that junior college.
My dad, who's basically paying for everything, is saying, you know, that he's not going to let me have a job when I'm in school.
Oh, so here, your dad's paying for everything.
I heard a smoke alarm off in the distance there.
Yeah, that was a squeak.
He's paying for the apartment my sister and I are in, and basically the tuition and the books and all that stuff.
I don't want to cast aspersions on your father, but tuition for junior college is like $9 a year.
I know, but books.
I could pay whatever's in my wallet right now. I could put you through junior college.
Yeah, I know.
Books. That's $28. Dad's paying his way through junior college. The apartment though, that's something else. That's now. Do you have a good relationship with your dad?
Yeah, but he lives in Bakersfield, and so I can't live with him. I hate Bakersfield.
Yeah, no kidding. You know why you hate Bakersfield?
Everyone there's homophobic.
No, because you're a mammal. Mammals hate Bakersfield. I'm telling you, I'm no longer just limiting this to human beings. All mammalians hate Bakersfield. You know why?
Because
they don't.
They cook.
They have a brain.
Yeah.
They don't have the reptilian brain.
Well, also the heat.
Anything that has a spinal cord cannot function in Bakersfield. All right, Dave's. Oh my God, Bakersfield could have been. He could have been to Pahrump. But
I was waiting for the comment.
Bakersfield is basically what we call Pahrump West. That's
Northwest. Yeah,
that's what I call it. Yeah. All right. Dave needs to get a job and get some independence.
Dave needs to focus on his, get some independence, focus on his life. He needs to form a job where he feels like he's doing something. He needs to focus on his school if that's important to him. Get a relationship, get a life. He needs to have a life.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying it sounds like a good deal, but not if you're also like, there's always conditions with a good deal.
Right.
You know, I'll do this, but you can't have that.
Right.
I'll get your apartment, but you can't get a job.
Well, that's what it is. Here's what it is. When you're growing up, your parents are your bosses, and they go, we'll pay you, but you got to stay in school, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And then later on, you move out of the house, and you have a boss, and he says, I'll pay you, but you got to show up at this time, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Basically, you go through your whole life doing that. He needs to get a boss, not a parent. And as far as the dad goes, as far as the mom goes, screw her. She's a bitch.
Don't keep going back to that well.
Well, it's like the same thing. I mean, not to compare apples and oranges, but like I tried to have a relationship with my dad, and it found that it was draining and it caused rifts in the family, so I stopped.
You.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like, okay, that's not going to work. Great.
There's something that's sort of liberating about giving something up that's not working.
Totally.
Any relationship. And I know it's tough when there's blood involved, but hey, if they're unreasonable and they're bigoted and you're gay, hey, this ain't going to work. Okay. Sarah?
Hello?
What's going on?
What's happening, baby doll?
Sarah?
I'm sitting around on hold for at least half hour.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Well, here, enjoy hold again.
That's right. That's your best friend, baby. And this is Sarah number two, who's 19. Sarah?
Yeah?
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to call and let you guys know that you do a great job, and you both helped me out so much about 2 years ago.
Oh, you are my favorite Sarah. You're not the evil Sarah we just spoke to. You're the good Sarah.
No, I don't mind waiting to let you guys know how much you guys helped so many people.
Well, how did we help you a few years ago?
Well, I was sexually abused by two of my brothers on two separate occasions.
You see that, Drew? We do some good. Oh, that was the bad part.
Yeah, that was the bad part.
Okay, all right, but then it gets good.
Yes, it does. So it happened when I was first time in kindergarten and then second time when I was in fifth grade.
Wow.
And I didn't talk to anyone about it because, you know, for obvious reasons, I figured I did something wrong or, you know, I just didn't talk to anyone about it. And then things were getting pretty bad my junior year in high school, so I called you guys to talk to you and see what happened. And you really helped me. And the next day, I talked to one of my teachers at school, and he helped me find a counselor and start working through it. And So things have gotten a lot better.
Great, Sarah. Fantastic. See, life does not have to be miserable, right?
No, it was bad for a while, but, yeah. You know, I worked through it, and I'm in college, and things are great, and I have a great boyfriend who treats me well.
That speaks...
He respects me and knows everything that happens.
That speaks volumes about your improvement.
Yes.
That is the acid test. If you can have a relationship with a quality person who genuinely respects you and has good boundaries with you and who appreciates you, then you're done. You're good.
Yes.
All right. So. Well, another Loveline success story. That's three in the 9 years I've been here.
Well, don't worry. I'm sure there'll be more coming because you guys do great things for so many people. So I just wanted to call and say thank you.
Where are you going to school?
Oh, pardon me?
Where are you going to school?
I go to school in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Where?
At a small private school.
Roger Williams?
Yeah.
Hey, how did I know that?
No way.
I came there and spoke about a year ago.
Oh, you know what? Oh. I knew that. I missed you by 1 year.
Yep. So there you go.
Don't worry.
You'll have to come back.
I'll be glad to.
It's easy. Just pass the hat, scrape up about $130 worth of change, and drill fly halfway cross country. No problem at all. All right?
Well, thank you very much.
I'll be with him.
Hopefully I'll see you at
thank
school.
Thank you. You're fine, baby
care.
Doll.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you go.
That's awesome.
All right. Now, that's the lovely, friendly Sarah. Now, the evil Sarah. Now,
are we going back?
Yeah, we're going back.
Well, Sarah, the good Sarah, probably sounded an awful lot like the evil Sarah when we first got our hands on her.
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
All right. Evil Sarah?
Well, I am so sorry.
See that?
I'm trying to joke around.
No, that's all right,
you.
Baby
I'm
doll.
Very sorry.
I just give a little tough love, little yank on that chain. Dog knows where to crap now.
Oh.
What's up?
I can't wait for a magic wedding, by the way. Right.
Can't wait for the movie, huh?
Right on.
Oh, I'm very excited. Okay, my question basically stems from when I was 4 years old, I had an unfortunate situation where my mother took me away from my father, and I was sexually abused by her boyfriend.
Right.
And then my father found me. This took, 3 months. My father found me, brought me home, and he's wonderful. And everything in my life is pretty much... okay, except I'm really worried about what the sexual abuse might have done to me.
Did your father know about sexual abuse when he got you?
Yes, I mean, he knew about it. He was absolutely furious about it. And, you know, in the final analysis, there wasn't much he could do except just try to...
How old were you when this happened?
I was three going into four. She took me when I was... three, and I had a birthday while I was with her.
And did she sort of kidnap you? I mean, had your parents were they divorced before that?
They were separated. It was a literal, parental kidnapping. My dad had me, and my mother just came in one day and took me.
Do you have a relationship with your mother anymore?
Not a relationship. She helps me somewhat with my car payment now that I'm in college, and otherwise I put myself through school. But it's more of here, honey, here's some money.
What's she say about the boyfriend?
She denies that any of it ever happened. There were a lot of drugs involved. Okay. But, you know,
is she still
both of them.
Is she still an alcoholic or addict?
Is she still what?
An alcoholic or addict?
Definitely not as bad as she used to be.
All right, but she's an addict.
I honestly don't know, though.
She's an addict. And then were you ever treated? Did you have any treatment for your abuse?
For the abuse?
Yeah.
I was brought into psychologists when I was a kid, and I was examined, and that happened right after I... came back, and I think after that, my father just wanted me to have as much of a normal life as possible.
So you never had any formal treatment, really?
I never had any long-term, ongoing therapy.
Okay. All right.
Do you remember the incident, or just know of it, or?
Oh, no, I vividly remember it. I'm one of those people that can remember when they were really young.
Okay.
Me too.
So, yeah.
Only bad things, though.
So now what's your question?
My question is, I'm pretty well-adjusted in most areas of my life, putting myself through college, get good grades. I don't do drugs. But I feel like I have a very hard time saying no to men, and I think I sort of don't have enough confidence in myself as a woman who can be discriminating, because of that I've had relationships where I wasn't happy.
Well, basically what that kind of victimization does to you is sort of etches in that victim role. You sort of have an implicit... almost a biological memory of being a victim. And so when someone approaches you and sort of even hints at overpowering you, you immediately sort of go into this dissociative state where you're powerless and you can't. It's like you don't exist for a few minutes. You just can't mobilize. And that's a pretty serious thing. I mean, that's something that's going to trouble you a lot if you don't do something about it.
But I'm sure she does that. But to me, it's even before that part. I mean, during the part where the guy's asking her out and stuff.
Well, she of course is attracted also to guys that would be good victimizers.
Right.
That's what the other thing that does.
Well, I don't even know if these guys are victimizers. They're horny 22-year-olds.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, anything with a penis is a victimizer.
Really,
I've learned that.
One of the things that therapy would do for you is to get you to have experiences without sort of dissociating like you do, to be able to have strong feelings and to be able to explore a relationship with somebody where you're present without sort of dissociation is the only word I can come up with. It's the only word to use.
Yeah.
Where you sort of devolve in the middle of an interaction.
All right, so
isn't it true, too, that, you know, you can, you know, change by choice? I mean, if you're aware of the problem, you can choose.
No, that's actually one of the great misconceptions of our time, is that this is a implicit biology that's wired into her brain. And to unwire it, all the wishing in the world, she has to go through a process of treatment where somebody is skillfully gets her through that. It's not a cognitive process. It's not a behavior. It's a rewiring, a reintegration of certain kinds of emotions and experiences in an intersubjective exchange.
Well, the train by choice, or make your choices and sort of train yourself away, it sort of becomes a chicken or the egg sort of argument. Shut your hole over there for a second, Drew, which is, if you do get some therapy and you do sort of get your focus back, then you do start making those choices that don't lead you to trouble. And it does feel like a choice, and it is a choice. But the question is, could you have ever made that choice without the therapy? And the answer is probably no.
Well, no, but I'm just saying that understanding, like, you feel a certain way towards a certain type of person.
Right.
You understand the problem.
Yes.
You make a choice
you
that's different,
that.
but you don't feel the same sort of thing, so you're still attracted the other way. But if you're aware of that, if you keep that up long enough, eventually you will rewire.
Well, you have
started with making a choice.
There is something to that.
You're in your 60s, though.
I've been there. I've been there, though.
You have a point. You learn to read your own behaviors and attractions, so you don't make you don't put yourself in situations where you're going to be. Feel powerless, be victimized. Absolutely, that's a piece of it. But this whole, and I'm realizing you haven't done this in your therapy yet. This is speaking volumes about where you are in your treatment, Adam.
I'm kidding. You're a mess compared to me.
But it is the...
You're a train wreck.
The ability...
You know what you are compared to me? You're like you're a kite that got caught up in one of those tree mulchers. That's what you look at.
I'm just wrapped around high tension wire. It's all.
Please, crazy wife of yours, dragging you around by the nostrils.
Be that as it may, that this experience, the whole notion of dissociation and how...
Can't even get a massage.
I didn't want one.
Let me tell you something, everybody. Drew and I were just away on a weekend with the missuses in Santa Barbara, and I thought about it. Everybody signed. We went to this. Oh, Drew! Now you're in trouble. We went away for this
compensation.
Well, it took the guy 9 years to buy a car he wanted. By the way, talking to me every night about what kind of car he should get. He finally pulled the trigger on that. Now we went away to Santa Barbara because KJEE, our affiliate up there, gave us a little spa weekend. So everyone went up there, you know, hang out by the pool, eat some nice dinners, enjoy ourselves, and all that. Then came, like, spa day. So the wives were like, okay, I'm getting a shiatsu massage, followed with the Swedish this or that. My wife signed me up for a nice massage. What did Drew do? He did the beach challenge. That's where him and a bull dyke go. They basically eat sand for 2 hours while we're getting massage. And I thought to myself as I was getting my rub down, I thought, Drew can't let it go, can he? It's a Sunday. You're at a four-star resort. You can't just lay down and get a massage. You got to be on the beach doing push-ups like Richard Gere, an officer and a gentleman. Really?
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. Couldn't just let it go. Yeah, who needs therapy? Thank you.
I don't know.
It
depends on how you look at these things.
Doing push-ups on a Sunday to spa in the sand, getting attacked by bees and dogs.
Felt great.
It felt, you know, a massage would have felt better,
if I could
physically felt better, if you could have let go enough to enjoy somebody doing
fantastic.
Something for you and you not answering your pager while you're running in place.
So the point is that
lifting logs over his head like Rocky IV.
Taking cabers and heaving them.
That's right.
Throwing the willy.
he's doing the horseshoe crab toss. He actually, part of the exercise is you have to drag a beached whale back out into the tidal waters. I mean, it's a tough challenge, a beach challenge. 2 hours of running around a beach like a retard.
Technically, those belugas are not whales.
Go ahead, Mr. Evolved. Saying.
So dissociation, we're realizing, is more and more of an important process that goes on, particularly in trauma survivors. And it's a wired-in mechanism. It takes quite a bit of sort of skillful teasing in order to get people not to rely on that as a way to deal with interpersonal challenges and stress. And she needs to be able to be sort of frustrated and challenged in a relationship and have other ranges of experiences of feelings other than sort of caving into this primitive dissociation that she's so prone to do. And you don't do that unless you're in the hands of somebody who's observing what you're doing, understands the nuances of what's going on.
Well, I guess I'm just of the frame of mind where I'm really fortunate that I have...
You haven't been traumatized.
Well...
Grew up in Pahrump.
He's got some issues.
His dad was a chronic gambler, went around screwing everyone in town and knocking out kids. He was abandoned as a young boy.
No.
He's struggling with his homosexuality. He's got full-blown AIDS. I mean, this kid's got troubles, Drew.
I'm just saying
American Pie.
I'm very
American Wedding coming up August 1st.
I'm very fortunate to have a good mom who pays enough attention to kind of be like that family therapist.
She's competent.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, she gave you what you need in order to build.
And still does. Yeah.
You went to Santa Cruz. You had a good, stable mom. Yeah. And let's just move on here. But let me just say this: some adversity can be overcome.
Yeah.
Sexual abuse on the girls.
Yeah.
Is that's
wiring.
Therapy.
It's a wiring,
time to head to the therapist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
She's having sexual compulsions now.
No, I understand.
Doing too many guys and easily victimized. And it'd probably be easy to overcome it, really, but it probably is professional.
Well, not that easy. And how pissed would you be as a dad if your crazy old lady snatched up your 4-year-old, took her on the road, you spent 3 months looking for her, and then you find her, and some guy answers the door in his jockey shorts, drinking a tall boy.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm done with her. You can take her back. I mean, like, would you just be insane?
I'd kill the guy.
You just go insane,
For sure.
Beth?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay, here's my question. Last night, I was having sex with my boyfriend. This has happened like 3 or 4 times. You know how sometimes it slips and you kind of got to put it back in?
Yep.
He loses his erection. Like, it's just gone.
Well, it slips
because he's losing his erection.
Right.
That's why it slips.
Is that why that happened? What happened?
Let's
take a break?
Yeah, let's take this apart next time.
All right. How long have you been doing radio, Drew? Yeah, that's cool. Thomas Ian Nicholas is here. Hold on, Beth. We're going to open him up like a can of tuna during the break. We'll find the abuse.
Yeah.
American Wedding, we'll be right back. We'll get to Beth after this.
If you want to sing, hear the words.
What is this? What is
Drew's,
this?
Drew's too depressed to sing along. He just wants to listen tonight.
These are the actual words? I never knew that.
Oh, yeah.
I always wondered what the heck they were saying.
Yeah. All right. Drew, you don't raise the roof. It doesn't look right. Thomas and Nicholas is here tonight from American Wedding, which comes out August 1st. I don't know what other comedies are lurking around the corner, but I haven't seen any.
Movie comedy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is it. You got to see this.
We picked a good time, apparently, then.
Yeah.
We are alone in the comedy against all the action and visual effects.
Be up against Pirates of the Caribbean, which I still want to see, but have
it's
not.
It's the same here.
It's good. It's good. I heard Johnny Depp's great in it.
Yeah, I heard he's amazing.
I don't know what the hell else. There's a bunch of stuff out there I want to see. I never see anything. But I'm going to make up for that next week. Oh, yes.
Yeah, Peter Wilson would not come in here still, which I wanted to choose in that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which my kids loved.
Really?
Was it good? I read the script on that, but I didn't
say it was good. I said my 10-year-old kids loved it. And I said Peter Wilson was good.
I heard it was a flaming turd. It just seemed you know, I don't know, but it seemed like they'd been sitting on it for a while, and
it's
then
still,
all of a sudden tried to,
but
try to give it the buzz.
In the box office.
The script was awesome. I saw the preview, and I was like, yep, there's another good script gone awry when they made it into a movie.
Oh, really? You read the script?
Yeah.
Did you? Was
I auditioned for it.
Auditioned?
I was doing Stealing Sinatra, and I put myself on tape and sent the tape in.
What role were you going to play?
The
Dorian Gray?
Sean Connery's role.
No, yeah, I was going for Sean.
Oh, the
Connery.
Young guy, the American
young guy, the yeah. whatever.
Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
So Drew, you saw the movie.
Yeah.
That didn't hold together well for you.
No.
All right.
I really thought Peter Wilson was excellent, very intriguing, just a pleasure to watch, and interesting.
That LaFemme Nikita, chick?
Right? Yeah.
Oh, Drew likes her.
Yeah.
You know, she's blonde and she's crazy. That's what Drew likes. Beth.
Yeah.
You're 21.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, so what I was saying before we went on hold there is that my boyfriend, when we have sex sometimes, he, like, loses his erection, like, right in the middle of everything.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Why would that happen?
Bummer.
No,
well, he's not attracted to you, Beth. No, that has nothing to do with it. How long into the act does this happen usually?
It depends. The first time it happened, you know, like within the first 10 minutes or so, he just, and, you know, it's lasted anywhere from like 2 or 3 minutes until last night. I'm not kidding. It was like 5 minutes where he was trying to do, I don't know what with, I'm sorry to say it, but mush. And I'm just like, you know,
yeah.
What am I supposed to do with that?
And with mush?
Yeah.
Is this before or after he's done?
Before.
Really?
That's why I was confused, because I'm thinking, God, is he done already? But then, you know.
Nothing worse than when you, it's like that shoelace where the tip got chewed off and you're trying to push it through the boot eye opening and it's like it ain't making it. And occasionally you get a little strand and then you pull that and it just goes, it starts unraveling.
No.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
What is that?
Is he on any medication?
You got to lick it and twist it.
I don't think so. I don't know.
You might want to ask him about that.
One of my friends mentioned, would drugs cause that? Because I know he has done drugs in the past.
Mm.
Well, ecstasy sometimes will do that. But no, it's usually, if somebody's using a lot of drugs regularly, it can do that. But if it's occasional use, no, it's not.
How old is he?
He's 21.
And can the penis be brought back to life?
Yeah, that's the whole thing that's weird, is after like 5 minutes or so, you know, he's kind of got to do his own thing, and then it kind of, I guess you could call it, comes back.
Is he wearing a condom?
The first time it happened, he was, and I thought maybe that was the problem.
Right.
But then there's been like 2 or 3 other times where it's happened, and he wasn't.
Is that what he told you?
And he's not having an orgasm. He's just losing his erection.
Pretty much, yeah.
How's he doing in the relationship? Does he seem to be into it? Is he interested?
I think, well, he seems to be.
Is he super into it? Like, he's very excited about being in this relationship?
I think so. We've been.
But some guys, when they're really attracted to a woman and real excited about the relationship, they get too anxious.
Yeah.
And they have like a performance anxiety. They can't function.
And
that's actually a compliment in that case. So it's not that he's not attracted to you, it's that he's too attracted to you.
Yeah, well, that, I don't know, that could be, because we've been kind of dating on and off for like the last 6 months. I'm a single mom, and I'm trying really hard not to like dive into anything major, and he just wants to be around all the time. And
oh, yeah, there we go. Their numbers don't match, I bet you.
All right, let's talk about this.
Second. Yeah.
All right, so what's going on here is Beth is a hot chick,
right?
Who may be an 8 or a 9, but because she's a single mom, her number got lowered a little bit.
Okay.
She is now, her value on the open market is decreased a little bit.
But he wants to be around all the time.
Well this,
his number is
this
way
guy
down.
Could be a 5.5.
Oh, I got you.
Normally,
I'm catching on now.
And he's now going for a 9. He can't believe it. His head's exploding.
He doesn't get a shot at an 8 or a 9, yeah. But he does because she's having a fire sale because of the kid. He's
able to
get in and
buy
also,
that. And also, I'll paint another piece of her story. I bet she's gone with the bad guys, and this is going to be the nice guy. This is her attempt to be with the right kind of guy.
Yeah, she was,
that definitely could happen. Nice guy gets with the bad girl in bed, and it's kind of like a different story for, you know.
Let's see. Beth?
Yeah, I'm here.
How old is your child?
She will be turning 5. I had her when I was 16.
All right, so this is the bad boy thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've in the past, been attracted to some bad boys?
Yeah, her dad's a real ass.
Yep. All right. And this guy's
put money on this.
This guy's a nice guy.
He's a very sweet guy. I've known him since I was in like the fourth grade.
Oh,
not the kind of
waiting in the wings.
Oh my God, this guy! No wonder he's going insane. He's been waiting since he was nine, and this is not the kind of guy you would normally date, right?
No, probably not.
Right.
And okay. the reason you're wanting to take it slow is because he's not a bad boy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, and rationally, you think, I should be with a guy like this, not a guy like the ex-father,
yeah.
Like, you know, the ex-husband or boyfriend.
True.
But I'm just not as attracted to him as I could be. Meanwhile, he's going insane.
And turning to mush.
Yes.
Quite literally.
So that's his problem.
Yeah, he's too into this. Too much.
Yeah.
He might
also be sensing that you're sort of...
Not as into it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I hope not. Well, okay, I have another question.
Pick up on that.
Yeah.
Oh, if he sees that, whoa. Boy, would he feel bad if he knew how I actually felt.
No, there was a night not too long ago where my kids were gone for the night. I had people over to my
kids? House.
Kid or kids?
I have two kids. The other one is with the same father, but he will be... I don't have him as much. He stays with his dad more.
How old is he?
He'll be three.
He's two.
Cranking out two kids with king a-hole, huh?
We should have a two-year-old somehow.
That's great.
But no, okay, so I had him, this guy that I'm seeing here at my house, and we had sex that night, and I don't know if this, my girlfriends keep telling me that's not normal and he couldn't have done it, but he, I guess you could say, ejaculated 12 times in one night.
Like, yeah.
That's how many times.
One for every semester of junior high. He didn't get you.
But I mean, is that possible? Like, everyone keeps telling me, no, he couldn't have.
Yeah, I think a guy who had his ultimate experience could do this.
Yeah.
But then his soul is sort of ejected into purgatory and he tries to mush.
He wasn't a big hit with the ladies up until he met you.
Dork in school. Yeah.
Now he's not a big dork. And coincidentally, that's the problem.
Yeah.
No, he is a big dork now. That's the problem. What are you saying, Drew?
The big dork ain't so big. You get my.
No, but I'm the dork. Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you, Drew. Sorry. All right. What's he do? Something with computers or something?
No, he's working construction now.
Construction?
Yeah.
Nice guy working construction?
I guess.
Nice guy dork working construction.
Wow.
Construction or like. Land development or something?
No, he builds trusses.
Builds trusses?
Trusses for, like, weddings and stuff? What?
No. Trusses, ceiling.
I know,
trusses.
I'm just...
Oh, we can go out and I'll just point it out.
That's what it is.
I'm just kidding.
Right.
It was a joke.
All right, so he builds trusses and...
Yeah, he went from being a fat dork in school to now he's this buff, tan, you know... He's actually
that's on the outside, but on the inside, he still feels like a fat dork.
Well, he does.
So Beth, here's the thing. Forget about his performance. What's up with you? It sounds like you sort of got one foot in the relationship pool and the other on the deck.
I don't know what's up with him.
You're not into him.
Kind of yes and kind of no.
Well, the kind of yes part is the part that wishes you could be into someone like this, but the no part is all of you.
It's the depths of you is the no.
The no part is causing the mush.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's hard to argue with that part.
On the other hand, the no part of you is sort of the disturbed part that's going to keep being attracted to the a-holes.
Yeah,
so do you think you could gut it out with this guy?
She's doing that.
I don't know. Well, see, that's the other thing.
It's not fair to him.
Is that he has made comments also about how... You know, he's glad we're taking things slow and all this.
He's just saying that because he doesn't want to freak you out anymore.
Yeah,
you're
taking
free.
Things slow after the 12th time he ejaculates.
Right.
How slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll lose my body fluid.
Yeah, I mean, when he's on his games, 30, 40 squirts from that hose of his. All right, so, Beth.
Yeah.
Let's forget about his penis for a second here.
Okay.
You need to do a little soul searching.
I'm sure I do.
If you think you're ready... to sort of be with a good and stable guy, then you should, even though there's some discomfort involved, move forward and attempt to have the relationship progress.
Right.
But if you're just kidding yourself and wasting his time, you should break up. And I predict his penis problem will go away the more secure he feels about the relationship.
Yeah, the more into it you actually are.
And here's the problem with Beth. If Beth was 28 instead of 21, I would say, hey, it's time to grow up,
yeah.
And it's time to push.
Right.
At 21, unfortunately, she could have another 5-8 years worth of screwballs.
Yeah, the problem is she has two kids. That's the...
I know, but you can't yell at someone to grow up just because they have two kids.
Yeah. Right. Again, the Kobe Bryant syndrome.
What? Oh, got married too soon? Yeah. All right. Miranda?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I was calling because some guy had called in last night and said that the Trojan Supra condoms kept breaking on him.
Yes.
Well, that happens to my boyfriend and I probably about 90% of the times that we use those condoms. I am allergic to latex, and so that's pretty much the only option we have other than the natural
animal skin.
What's the name of this again? Let me write this down.
The polyurethane condoms. Have you tried other kinds of polyurethane condoms?
Those are the only kind that we've been able to find.
Hold on. Let me just clarify the chick percentage equation. 90% to a chick is 3 out of 10 times.
No, I'm saying every time we use them, just about. It's like we'll be having sex, and then he'll be about to come, so we'll switch position, we'll pull it out, make sure everything's okay.
Put it in the ceiling fan,
put it in the ceiling fan, right. No, we'll go back in, and then he'll come, pull out, and the condom will practically be not there, if not stuck, like, way far inside of me.
How is it that it doesn't break the entire time you're having sex and only breaks at the moment of ejaculation?
You know, I was wondering that myself.
That must mean he's not creating enough space at the tip. He's got to roll it down for a
minute. No, because I'll put the condom on myself, and, you know, I make sure that everything's right. You know, it's very important to me that I do not get pregnant, so.
Wow.
She's holding this dork up to a schematic she has up on the wall.
Like Woody Allen with the blints making.
Yeah.
And why not use the animal skins more regularly?
Have you ever opened one and smelled it or looked at it? They're really...
Yeah, it's a little cat gut. What's the big
deal?
They're
not appetizing.
What is it? Is it lamb something?
Yeah, they're lamb skin. Yeah. It's like lamb intestines.
Yeah. Lamb skin.
All right, but you eat sausage, right?
No, actually, I don't.
Uh-huh. I don't crap on my valid points here. Never had a hot dog, sweetie?
Not since I was about 10.
All right, but when you're 10, you love that thing, didn't you?
Oh, yeah,
that was nothing but intestine.
No,
all right,
no good,
I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
Nice try.
So,
well, how about another brand of
polyurethane?
Polyurethane.
We haven't been able to find anything. That's our problem.
Yeah.
Go online.
Yeah, and how about and latex? No way, huh?
No, not at all.
You have a severe latex.
I was hospitalized by a dentist one time. It was very gruesome.
Yeah. By a dentist glove?
He had sex with her.
They used
a latex condom.
It was like a latex dam. They put in your mouth.
Put in your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bad sign, by the way. I've had him bust out that latex dam.
Peanut allergy? What do you think?
She's hospitalized. I'm going to. All right. Oh, wait a minute. Who am I speaking
to?
Yeah. Miranda?
Yeah.
Where, are you allergic to anything else?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
All right. You're safe.
go
on the internet and see if we can find a polyurethane or a polyurethane condom that works.
Or ask your pharmacist to order stuff.
So, I mean, Drew,
for sure,
is okay. They make latex. They make polyurethane.
Yeah.
Are we now finding out that just through our own sort of
you and I are finding out through our little retarded research we're doing here. That there may be some problem with the polyurethane. In my head, I keep thinking there's some special accommodation people need to use in terms of how they put it on or something than how they're applying it.
Well, polyurethane is probably not the best material to make a condom out of, or they would have just made them all out of polyurethane. Right.
But I've not read anywhere where they say they're rupture rate. I wonder if maybe you have to really be super careful about how you maintain them. Maybe they get sort of crystal or dried out if they're not in the right temperature.
Drew, how about my idea for the PVC piping condom? This is more of a jacket that goes around the penis.
I've never heard this.
2-inch PVC pipe. Just go ahead and, you know, use the hot glue, put the cap on the end of it, and a couple holes on the side just wrapped around. It's like a clown's nose.
Yeah, around the penis.
Right, the penis actually drops into it. It's like a shipping container that you would ship poster in.
Why hasn't somebody thought of this sooner?
I don't know. You can reuse it. It's practically indestructible.
And that sharp edge, you can just cut it sharp at the end and feel great in the woman.
No. You cut it and you put the cap.
Oh,
it's like put a cap.
It's like a faux penis.
And like if you're stubbing out some plumbing on your lawn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just put that little cap on the
end.
You
wouldn't want a sharp end to step on. You would round it off.
Yeah, use 1.5 inch or 2-inch inner diameter. Strap that thing on.
It's a helmet.
Albeit the sensation is not as great as a condom, but you can reuse them. They're impact resistant.
Well, that sounds healthy.
Would you ever take it off?
No, I wouldn't.
No, of course not.
No, I wouldn't. And washing machine safe. All right, let's take a break. That's what we need to do. We're going to regroup. We're going to come back. Yeah, that's all you do.
It's all kizza. It's all kizza. The sound was E. Was zoom zoom Z.
Yeah, true. That's my boy.
Yeah.
In the hizzy.
Yee-hoo.
Zubble Gazuch.
Ian Nicholas.
I can't pronounce any of those things.
Here tonight from American Wedding, which is coming out August 1st. It'll be the third and the last of the American Pie installments.
We are done.
What's the story on this one? Besides the wedding,
it's funny. That's pretty much it. Once you get to the third one, you're just there just to make everybody laugh. But there's a story too.
I mean, you know.
The wedding and how it goes. I mean, you know, take the characters, put them in the wedding.
Right.
How could they screw it up?
All these. Remember when the movie was first coming out? All these guys showed up here.
Yeah.
The whole cast
was here.
Yeah.
I wasn't here then.
No, it was Jason.
You guys didn't
Allison.
Invite me.
Oh, it was the whole cast?
Yeah, it was like five of them showed up. Right.
Oh, that's craziness.
Wes.
Yeah. How you doing?
Good. You're 20.
Yeah.
Girlfriend says.
My girlfriend has something called herpegina. It's in her throat.
No, it's called herp-angina.
Herp-angina?
Herp-angina. It's a sore throat.
Herpy-gina.
Herpes vagina.
Oh,
it's
my.
It's my sister's nickname in college.
It's probably not. It's just a sore throat.
Nothing weird.
No, that's fine.
Hey, yeah. Drew, don't they know enough not to start stuff with the herpy thing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. Freaks people out.
Of me.
All right.
Now, you still can get contagious, potentially, but not a STD.
Yeah, so just...
Don't kiss. Wait till she gets well.
All right, good times.
Good times.
Good times.
All right.
All right.
Herpangina?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
Herpangina.
One word?
Herpangina.
And what is that? Just
sore throat, basically.
All right. One just can't call it a sore throat, huh?
No, certainly.
So it's not anything to do with... It's not herpangina.
Not herpes, no.
All right. Strep throat, better or worse than herpangina? Better?
Better.
Really?
Well, I don't know how to answer because it's...
All right, forget it. I'm bored now. Sarah, bored with my own question.
Hello.
Uh-oh. 16.
How'd you know? Oh, yeah. That's one, huh?
Got that? Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you my question?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a verbally abusive boyfriend. He's my ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a new boyfriend now, and he's really good to me, and we're getting along really well. We've been dating for 6 months now. But the problem is that now that it's different, I feel like I'm the verbally abusive one now. Like, I'm the...
Here's the deal. Here's the deal with having been a victim. When you get out and have relationships, you play one of two roles. You're either victim or you're the victimizer.
Spider-Man.
Or you're the victimizer. Or Spider-Man.
Damn it.
So if you're not being the victim, you end up being the victimizer.
Mm-hmm. And you end up trying to coax him
into victimizing.
Into victimizing you.
Yeah.
So you start getting abusive and see if you can fire him up a little bit.
Yeah.
The abused becomes the abuser.
That's right.
And I feel so bad, and you know, I mean, he's just such a nice person, and you know, he's really had a thing for me for a very long time.
Uh-oh.
You know,
more nice guy stuff.
Yeah. Well,
was your dad verbally abusive?
Oh, no, my dad is the most wonderful person ever. My mom, I have the most wonderful family. I love my family so much.
Really?
I have a wonderful family.
Well, then you should knock this off.
Yeah, I know. It's just that...
Really? No 6-year-old chick loves her mom and her dad that much.
No, I love them. They're so good to me.
Well, see, it's got to come out somewhere.
Were you adopted?
Know?
No. I'm just really lucky. Very lucky.
Where did you learn how to... be an abuser or to be abused?
Well, I'm the only
video
I'm
games.
The only girl, you know, I'm the little girl, and I have two older brothers, and my brothers, you know, when they were little, of course they would, you know, they would bug me, you know. I mean, my middle brother Victor, he still bugs me sometimes. Like, he'll call me like a slut, or you're such a slut because of the way you dress, blah blah blah, because, like,
that's your little brother.
No, no, it's my older brother. It's like my older brother, because I have two older brothers, but he's like the middle one.
He's the little older brother.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, because, like, his friends are always teasing him and stuff. Oh, your sister's so hot. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, shut the F up, you know. Oh, she's such a slut anyways. You can hook up with her. I wouldn't give a crap. And it's like, you know.
Okay, well, it sounds like an ideal setting.
Perfect
to be raised
perfect.
In. Sounds perfect.
Perfect.
Non-dysfunctional.
Your brother's calling you a slut every 10 seconds.
Yeah, maybe your parents, as nice as they are, need to do a little bit of parenting here.
I tell my mom and dad all the time, and they're so hard on me. I mean, but they're wonderful people. I mean, I know they're doing everything because
they're delights.
Yeah, delightful. Perfect parents. Perfect.
What's your dad do for a living?
Well, my dad retired 5 years ago. He was a mechanical engineer for British Petroleum.
Aha! I knew it, Drew.
And your mom?
My mom's a special education teacher for 5th and 6th grade.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they take the dumber teachers and put them with the special ed kids because no one's going to know?
Oh, that's so mean.
I mean, I'm just saying, who would know? It's not like they're going to call them out.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
6 times 6, 34. That seems about right. Hey, Sarah. 10 seconds ago, you had the world's greatest family, and now it sounds like maybe you are a little bit angry about all the verbal abuse you take from your brothers and how your parents don't step in.
Lack of intervention by your parents,
you.
And they weren't maybe available when you needed them. There's a lot, and they're hard on you. There's a lot of stuff going on here, Sarah. They may need to be seen by you as perfect, but they may not be so perfect.
All right.
Not that they're bad, not bad people, but
just yeah, but nobody's perfect.
Yeah, we don't want you to hate them, but just be realistic, and maybe you can find out where some of this energy comes that you have toward your boyfriend. But look, if you know you weren't abused per se, and the family's intact and everything, why don't you just
cut it out?
Cut it out. Just keep an eye on yourself.
And worse, no, it's so much trauma. It's like a soap opera. Okay, no, my dad doesn't like black people. And I'm dating a black person.
Oh, all right. Payback time now.
Yeah. And
Dad, I want you to meet Lucius. Yeah. Payback time.
He's, like, so nice, though. I mean, he's going to go on a field trip for football and stuff. And
you are so full of S, Sarah. It's amazing.
I'm not full of BS.
You are, kiddo. You are.
Well, it's like it's either bogus or you're just kidding
yourself. You're kidding. You're just delighting in creating this chaos and drama.
Would that not be an important point to bring up in the beginning?
Here's the deal. If your dad hates black people and you bring home a black boyfriend, it's because you hate your dad.
Right. Or anything that your parent is against, you bring home that.
That's what it is.
F you to dad.
That is F you. Yes. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a little jungle fever. I have many movies that depict such interactions.
And I know you're into that, but nothing wrong with a little FU for dad, but don't pretend that everything is perfect then. You got some stuff. Take a look.
But that's the point, though. That's a funny personality. Like, oh, everything's great because I'm getting back at dad.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. By the way, I'm going to pay my dad back that way, too.
Oh, that'd be great.
He's lukewarm on the blacks. I'm going to bring home a big black man.
Let him walk in on you too.
All right. Well, that's the show, everybody. I give it an 8.5 tonight.
Yeah.
Solid show.
Good calls.
Thomas, thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you very, very much for having me.
Everyone, go see American Wedding, which is coming out on August 1st. And then when Stealing Sinatra, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Stealing Sinatra. Stealing Sinatra. When that comes out.
An LA DJ.
Come on come on out. Yeah. Come on out.
It's a shameless plug.
Give him another plug and give him the props. Thanks for coming in. Always good to see you. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.